Hey everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm James, that's Katie, and of course that makes this episode 60 of the Circles and Squares PlayStation podcast. And we are only 5 episodes away now from being podcast senior citizens at 65. I'm
wondering if 65 was going to be relevant for you. It's kind of a weird milestone.
It is kind of a weird milestone, you know, but that means if we ever want to, Kate, we can now officially retire from podcasting at 65 episodes when we get there, because that's like the retirement age, right? Like we can.
Right, yeah. We can probably go get some cheap pancakes somewhere, I'd imagine.
That's right. We can just tell, hey, guys, guess what? Check out our channel. We have 65 episodes of the main show now. I'd like my discount. Anyways, yeah, how are you?
You know what? I'm good. I stayed up late. Well, not late last night, but I stayed up last night, and then I got up this morning, and I have in like 2 sittings completed a game, which, thank you, Game Pass. I never get to do that, and it was amazing. And I'm excited to tell you about it.
Yeah, I feel like also too, for whatever reason, and maybe this is just my weird perception, but I feel like you don't often play a lot of very short games. Like a lot of the stuff you get into is either sort of longer games like Divinity or Dark Souls or something, or it's like roguelikes, so there's not really a definitive start and end point.
I do run into a problem, and I think part of it is just because it's like you can only buy so many games in a year, mm-hmm. otherwise like you'll go homeless. And so the problem is that like there's always those like couple big games, like, well, I know I have to buy Elden Ring, so that's like already $80, and like I know I have to buy like whatever else is going to come out. So then it's harder to justify or like dip into your funds for games to be like, oh, I want that like small indie game for $15.
And yeah. So I know what you mean. Yeah. I know what you mean.
But like a lot of them are so worth it is the problem.
Well, that's what the beauty of Game Pass, right? That's where we're at. And that's why you've played a game called The Artful Escape. But of course, we'll talk about that in just a minute, because I just wanted to give people the lay of the land for the show first. Of course, as normal, we will be starting off talking about the games we've been playing the last little bit. And then for the second half of the show, we're doing a fun activity, which is called we're drafting our PlayStation 2 Classic lineups. So for those that are aware, obviously Sony put out a PlayStation 1 Classic a couple years ago with a lineup of classic games on there, and we thought it'd be fun to take our try at seeing what games we'd put on the PlayStation 2 Classic. So we'll do that in the second half of the show, and then of course close out with a listener mail question from one of our excellent listeners. So let's start off the show, Kate, with a game called Guardians of the Galaxy from Square Enix, and I've been playing this the last little bit and finally finished it just in time for this podcast. So let me tell you about it. You're interested in this game, right? Like to check it out at some point?
I am. Yeah, especially, you know, like you said, Game Pass, it's on there. It was one what it hinged on for me was how good the banter was and the relationship between the characters. And I've heard nothing but really positive things about it. So my confidence is high.
Yeah, I think it should be, because I think like my review of this game, if I was to put it into like a simple sentence, would be that I think this game is better than the sum of its parts. And a lot of that is because of the characters and their interactions that really just make it feel like that exact Guardians experience that you want when it comes to the characters and the way that they interact. So maybe I'll run through like the rest of the game first and what I think about it, and then leave the characters to the end, because there's definitely like the best part there. So this game, I guess for those that aren't really familiar with how it plays, I almost liken it to like an Uncharted style experience, where you're sort of going through like sort of linear environments. You can explore here and there and find collectibles on the ground for like upgrades for some of your weapons and whatnot, but you're pretty much going through these linear environments and solving puzzles along the way. And a lot of the game's enjoyment comes from sort of the banter between the characters as you're moving through the environments and the different Marvel locations. And so a lot of that's like your party members, but also characters sort of around in the environment. And then occasionally it's broken up, just like Uncharted, into like combat sections. So, but the combat's not turn-based or anything like that. It just happens just like Uncharted. And then after the matches, there's like experience bars and whatnot that you sort of fill up, and you can upgrade your characters and whatnot like that. And I think that the game is really strong in sort of the exploration parts, because the puzzles are never too crazy and difficult. They just kind of, they're almost reasons for you to spend more time in the environment with your partners, and you'll do things like, you know, there's a crack in that wall, like you got to call Drax over and he can punch it out. Or there's a little area you could cross over, you could call Groot over and he'll make a bridge out of his vines and like get you across. So you're kind of interacting with them on a puzzle solving basis and getting their back and forth. It's awesome in that sense. But then the combat comes along and I feel like that's really the weakest part of the game is the combat, because it ends up just being a lot of like rinse and repeat. Like it's action based, you know, you're kind of, so you play only as Star-Lord and he's got his kind of two guns, and his guns, they have different elements you can get on them later on. They have like, you know, fire and ice and all these different things. And then the rest of your characters, they sort of just fight for you automatically. And the way you control them is they have like meters that build up basically. And once they're full up, you can go into like a little selection menu, I guess, similar to like a Mass Effect, and get them each to use an attack. And so, you know, Drax and Gamora are kind of heavy hitters, whereas Rocket has like grenades for area effect. And then Groot will like hold guys in place with his roots. And so it sounds kind of cool, but then when you really boil it down, it really becomes like, there's so much going on in a lot of these battles. There's a lot of enemies and you almost just like don't have time to look at it. So you sort of just spam the moves you know are going to work the best. And it's not the most engaging battle system, unfortunately.
Like you're kind of just more like waiting for meters to fill up than anything else?
More or less, yeah. Like your regular attacks are, as the game progresses, I think they begin to feel sort of more and more useless. And they just sort of become what you do in between waiting for the meters. And then also I feel like, as if you sort of stagger how often you use the attacks, that the meters will come up sort of like in order. Like if you use Rocket's move first, by the time you've used the other ones, Rocket will be reloaded. And so more often than not, you're sort of just playing with the meters a lot and not really actually fighting too much. What the heck was that?
Not really fucking laugh. That was my washing machine.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
All right, folks, we're back. We had technical difficulties, namely Kate's washing machine nearly fell over off the top and had to attend to that. So
it's fine. It wasn't someone breaking into my house like we initially suspected. So
yeah, I was getting ready to call 911, but you know what, it's all good and we can return to the show. I was just talking about the combat, I'm pretty sure, in Guardian. So I don't know if you had any questions you wanted to ask or insights.
So immediately, what's weird to me about this game, and what I would have originally assumed, is that you would be able to swap between the characters. Because that's usually how those, like, squad-based games kind of work. And then, like, the other thing, too, is, like, does it feel like kind of like a, in the same vein as, like, Spider-Man, where it's a little bit more of, like, a spectacle action kind of game, and, like, it's very visual-based as opposed to just pure mechanic?
Yeah, it's definitely not super mechanic. Like, there is, like, you can do last-minute dodges and stuff like that, but... But, you know, it's largely like you're watching it for the visual pleasure sort of doing it. Like even Uncharted, I think, has combat that's more fun, and Uncharted's combat isn't like the greatest in the world, but it is more like action focused. This is very much like you're trying to keep your distance shooting at guys, and it's kind of like a stiff third person shooter sort of thing. It's at best, it's kind of just a generic sort of thing, but I'm with you. I really thought that it would be better if you could control and like swap between the characters, because I think that's part of the problem. Is like, it's not that it wasn't fun to play as Star-Lord. It's just that his kit isn't that amazing. Like you just kind of have your regular attack, you can switch elements of the gun, but that's really just to take down different types of shields and stuff, and then he just has four moves like everyone else. And so it's not is it really laggy?
No, it's just so fucking loud over here. sounds like someone just opened up a chainsaw.
Yeah, I think we can hear the washer a little bit, but that's fine.
I have never done this before.
We'll just keep the show going. This is great.
Oh, God. I'm too scared to go look. Like, I do not want to walk around the corner and see what fucking havoc has been let loose in my house.
Just pretend nothing's going on, and it's like nothing, you know.
It's all good. But, yeah. I wonder if that's, like, a cut feature. Because you think, especially if it's more, like, spectacle, like, what's fun about those games is like trying out the different moves and seeing like, you know, how it affects each enemy and like, you know, pulling out the cool weapons that they're all known for, different kind of fighting styles. And like, you think about all the, a lot of the other Marvel games too, and it's very much like alliance, like swap between characters and like be the Hulk and now you're Thor and whatever. And it just seems like that could have made it fun because it wouldn't get as boring as quickly because you're constantly like, okay, if you're bored of Star-Lord, just be Drax for an hour and then that's right, fun
yeah.
again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be too harsh. Like it's not awful. It's just like if this was the game, I certainly don't think it would be that successful. Like the praise the game gets is on the other parts of it. But anyway, like the fun part of the battle though is like when you can call like the team huddles with Star-Lord. So he kind of has his music player. He puts his headphones in like he does sometimes in the movies. And then you can kind of call your team in for a huddle and it'll like refill everyone's health, fix their meter back up, stuff like that. And then they'll come in and they'll say something to you. So if the battle's going really well, they'll come in and be like, oh, Peter, we're doing really well out there. Like we're kicking ass or sometimes they'll come in and be like, feeling low, like we're not doing so well. And then it's up to you to choose one of two responses to kind of go against like with what they say and encourage your team. And it's just really funny because if you get it right, like either way you get your meter restored and like everything's good, but just the responses they give to you, like part of the dialogue, if you say something that doesn't make sense, they'll just like ream you out for it and make jokes or like belittle you and amongst themselves. And it's just a like extension of how funny the game can be. But then after that, after you use that ability too, you get to play the rest of the battle with the game's one of their soundtrack. Like they have an awesome licensed soundtrack, a lot of like 80s rock, like Rick Astley's on there, like Lover Boy. There's like a whole Spotify playlist actually that you can go on. There's like some hair metal and all this kind of stuff. So it's really fun when you do use that because the battle all of a sudden is like to these, some of these songs are really funny too. Like you'll be fighting some aliens on some foreign planet and then like Rick Astley comes on and you're fighting them to like Never Gonna Give You Up. And it's just those were the moments that really were like cool in the combat, but it's more of like a gimmick than actually like the system mm-hmm. being amazing.
That's a shame. Does the music show up in other parts of the game as well? Because that's one of the things that Guardians is really known for, at least for the movies that have come out recently anyway. But like I 100% equate like this type of soundtrack and style to Guardians.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you can actually, there's a jukebox like on the ship. So whenever you're spending time on the Guardian ship, you can choose any of the songs you want and it can, you can listen to anything at any time really on there. And that's a good thing too, because you do spend quite a lot of time sort of on the ship. Which is where a lot of the dialogue takes place too. And like, of course it's like throughout the entire game, but when you're on the ship, you really get, a chance to, similar to Mass Effect, like when you go back onto the Normandy after you do a mission, you can go around the ship and like chat with everybody and see what they have to say. But in this game, it's even more expanded. Like the characters, just to get into their personalities a bit now, I guess, because we're getting towards dialogue, they're like exactly how you want them to be. They feel like mm-hmm. if you know their personalities in the MCU, like their dynamic, I guess, is exactly the same. Like Drax has that exact level of over his head humor where he's just so literal about everything. And I think the only change, there's two changes really in comparison to Guardians, like the movie versions with this. I feel like, I mean, I don't love Chris Pratt, but I think he is a pretty good Star-Lord. Mm-hmm. I think that the Star-Lord in this game is probably the weakest of the characters. He's kind of flat sometimes and kind of weird, but it's almost like okay because Star-Lord is a bit of like a dweeb. So yeah, it kind of like fits his personality. And then the other change is that Gamora is actually interesting. She has like so much to say. She's kind of like, what's the word, like sarcastic with her comments, but in a way that's like really intelligent. And she has some really heartfelt moments that come around as well. You really get to hang out with these characters a lot. And so like I said, a lot of this is on the ship. And the amazing part to me, and it took me a while to sort of get used to this on a level like I've never really seen before, and I don't know if that's hyperbolic, but like it's not just when you go over to them and you initiate a conversation, like press A to talk to them or something. Like they have constant organic conversations about all different kinds of topics all the time. And you'll just be like walking through the ship and in the sort of central sitting area, like you'll be overhearing like Rocket and Gamora already in a conversation. And they'll pause what they're saying and acknowledge you and be like, oh, hi, Peter. And then like keep talking. And like all mm-hmm. these amazing. Like, it's just so organic the way that everyone sort of has their own. It's like you could really believe they're doing their own thing on the ship and just hanging out, like, independently completely of what you're doing as Star-Lord. And it's like all the exact same funny stuff you'd expect, like I Am Groot coming in at weird times when you can kind of infer what he's trying to say, and like Rocket, you know, complaining about everything, Drax just making stupid comments, and like it's wonderful the way they do it. It's truly like worth playing the game if you have interest in the Guardians, just to experience like hanging out with these characters, even if you don't really care to actually play it. I think it's great.
Impressive. I feel like that kind of thing is like, it's so difficult to do it well, but if you can't do it halfway, like it seems so forced and unnatural if you do that kind of like organic dialogue and it doesn't land, or the character says something at a funny time, or they see something that doesn't like actually make sense for which, you know, who they're talking to. And it's like, I can't imagine how difficult it is not only to write for that, but to also actually implement it, because they can't control when you're going to walk in the room or like turn around and go past, you know, back to them if you've already like gotten their first sentence that makes sense and then you're supposed to be out of the room. But like, what if you actually stop and listen? And so to be able to account for all the variables that a player is going to do and to still make it seem believable is actually like it's unfathomably difficult.
Yeah, it's really something. And I gotta admit, like during the combat sequences, the dialogue for whatever reason really does go downhill. Like you hear a lot of repeat lines like during combat, and I don't exactly know why. Maybe it's because there's only so many ways to like point out an enemy's weakness or something. But aside from the combat, like when they're talking, either walking through the environment or on the ship or something, it's like you never hear a repeat. It's really really quite something. And then the ship's also cool in other ways too. Like you to kind of go to the next location after you beat a chapter, you're sort of on a planet, back to the ship, hang out. You can do your upgrades at Ratchet's bench, so he'll come over and be like, "What do you want, Quill?" and like chat to you. If you don't take any upgrades and you're kind of just like back out without doing anything, he'll like complain at you for wasting his time sometimes or stuff like that. But once you've done your thing on the ship, you kind of go to the cockpit and you go to your next location, which is like the next mission. And like walking up into the cockpit is so cool because you're Star-Lord. And so it's kind of like almost like a Megazord in Power Rangers, where you've got like the four chairs in front of you for your teammates. And then Star-Lord's kind of in the back, in the middle. And you sit in this chair and it goes from like third person to first person. So you're actually sitting there as Star-Lord, and you can kind of look around at the different gauges, and he's got like his little tape player there, and like his Chewbacca figurine is like on his thing, and a bobblehead and whatever. And then the Guardians will all like walk in from behind you and sit in their chairs, and they'll like turn and face you, and you'll have a kind of a team debate, or like, you know, you'll make some of the game's choices too, because it does have those like narrative things of like, oh, how are we going to repay our debt? Like, and then Drax will say like, oh, we'll go kill this monster and sell it to whatever black market to like make our money. And then Rocket will be like, oh no, we'll just go steal from this place, like I know where it is. And you'll have to like side with one of them and decide where to fly, and then you'll go on. And it just feels really great. I did look up after the fact, like the game does have branching paths, I guess, and you can sort of make different choices. I know in the E3 demo there was like, you could choose to throw Rocket over the chasm, right? Or like go find a different way over a path. But unfortunately the game only does have one ending, so it's unfortunate, I think, that there's not even like some slight maybe variations and like, oh, different choices could kind of do something. But I don't know if that leads into like they want it to end in a certain spot for a sequel at some time or something like that. But it would have been nice if I felt my choices maybe mattered a little bit more. I feel like I didn't feel like they mattered a whole lot during the game, to be honest. And then after reading that, you know, once I finished the game, I was like, oh, that's kind of too bad.
It doesn't change to like, I would have thought, but I guess maybe not then, that it doesn't really change your relationships with the characters too much. Like if you like never take Rocket side, you're like, Rocket, every single idea you've ever had this entire game has been terrible and I've shot it down. But like Rocket doesn't change how he approaches you. Like he just sort of takes it in stride and like you go on to the next thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I think it can change some of the dialogue in terms of like he might be a bit more sarcastic to you or something like that, but I guess it won't really result in anything too much, unfortunately, because I know like that's kind of the standard in a lot of choose your own adventure games these days, right? Is like again, like Mass Effect and BioWare and all those, but there's so many examples of games where like your choices make an impact and like different endings are possible. Like even something like Dishonored, right? Like that's not even that new of a game and there's different endings you can sort of get. So it's kind of dated that it doesn't have that, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things, like it's not like it's a necessity, right? Like the game still makes it feel like at the end of the game, like some of your choices, they do come back. And I don't know, like you can, there's a character called Lady Hellbender in the game and you can sort of interact with her in a couple different ways throughout the way the story goes. And like at the end of the game, she came to help me with a final conflict. And I could envision maybe like, depending how you've gone through the game, it's a different character that comes to help you or something like that. But that's sort of the extent of like the choices that the result. But anyway, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, great game. Like I said, better than the sum of its parts. And if you have an affinity for the characters or you find the movies hilarious, like especially if you're in it for the humor, like games, I think we've spoken before, like games don't often do humor well. And this, I think I would probably say is the funniest game that I've ever played. And
a big accolade.
I mean, there's not a lot of really funny games though. Like I legitimately laughed at this a lot. Like if you watch a Guardians of the Galaxy or Avengers movie and you find like Mantis and Drax funny, like you're going to find this game funny is what it comes down to. And so I really think it does a good job of that.
Does Mantis go on your ship with you? Like she's a party member?
She's around a little bit. She's not like part of your party, but she is a present and like you spend a decent chunk of the game with her. So she is around.
Okay. Yeah. That's good, because Loki, I think she's one of the funniest, like best characters in Guardians. She's so good.
Yeah, and she's one of the best in this game too. She's like very, very funny. Probably the most jokes actually come from Mantis, I would say.
Okay, but it is on my list. I will eventually play it. One day I will beat Elden Ring and I'll start playing new things, I promise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just one more game for me to talk about very briefly. I've been playing a little roguelike, sort of in the vein of Hades, I just wanted to bring up because I don't know how much more I'm going to play it and I just want to talk about it while it's fresh in my mind. But it is one of those Game Pass specials. It's called Dreamscaper. And it's the game loop is like very similar to Hades. You know, you kind of go into a dungeon, you have a loadout that you start with, you can find different weapons along the way, different upgrades like, oh, boost your fire damage, boost your wind damage, all these different things, you know, different spells you have on you. Summons, like it's basically a clone of Hades in terms of its play style, and it's pretty fun. You know, it's the kind of game like I kind of booted it up, I needed to kill some time sitting at my computer, and just like it's a good game to do a couple runs, right, and just sort of check out like that format works so well. And I didn't love it at the start of the game, but the more that I played it, I don't know if I've just kind of become motivated to like see it through to the end or something, but I've grown to like it more and more. So I guess a few of the differences from Hades, or at least the way I remember Hades, maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, but so you kind of have like different equipment and the more you use it in the dungeons, it kind of levels up and ranks up. So it gets better the more you use it. And then you're sort of going through like down floor by floor, just like in Hades, and you're collecting.
Oh, it's Hades, you're going up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the key difference of the game, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're collecting like different currencies while you're down there. So, you know, you have like those in Hades, you have that like dark orb or whatever, and you can use it to do permanent upgrades. Like in this, you've got a few different currencies. So like one is for your personal attributes of like your health and your stamina and stuff. And then another one is for like, I guess like the different system that's in the game's overworld. So the game is more different from Hades in like the part of the game where you're not in the dungeon, because it's called Dreamscaper, and what it is you're actually a girl that kind of goes into her dreams, and the enemies you're fighting are like her nightmares and her demons. So it'll be like jealousy is like one of the bosses, like she struggled with that in her story, I guess. And when you wake up, you kind of live your life during the day, so you can go to the coffee shop and go to like the store or whatever, and wherever you go you run into people and you're sort of building relationships with them by
So it's Persona meets Hades?
Sort of.
Exactly,
I mean,
what I'm getting.
Persona is really overselling the relationships you get. Like you do kind of like level up. You can give people gifts. Like one of the currencies allows you to craft little items in your bedroom. So you can like, you know, paint a picture or write a song or, you know, different things like that. And you can gift them to people. And the more you get to know them, you sort of know like, oh, this dude's into hiking. And I found like this picture of a campsite that I can give to somebody, so maybe he'd like it.
It's kind of a weird gift.
It is weird. Some of the gifts are weird.
Nice. It's not weird if you drew it, but it is kind of weird if you're like, I just found.
Well, you crafted it. you know.
Maybe.
Look, it's a gift, okay? It's for free. Nothing's right, weird if okay. it's for free.
that's a good life motto. Nothing's weird if it was free.
Yeah. But anyway, you're kind of just doing that. Every run, you're stronger. You unlock different rooms. Like there's like a there's a few challenge rooms you can run into in the dungeons, and it's like almost like a Minesweeper game or like a what's that game? You're like filling in all the lines and making them connect properly. It's kind of like those type of puzzles you do.
Tetris, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Not quite. Yeah. But, you know, there's just the different rooms you'd expect in a game like Hades with like Tetris. Weapons. Like Tetris, yeah.
I don't get Tetris this in is my so Hades off. Run. Should he run?
This is so off the rails. But yeah, Dreamscaper. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know what else to say about it other than that. It's just sort of like if you enjoyed Hades and you want a different take on it, like instead of Greek gods, you sort of have this you know, everyday regular girl, and she sort of has these memories that come up and throughout the story and whatnot. Like, I've been skipping a lot of the dialogue, to be honest. I'm just sort of wanting to get to the end.
Okay,
but it's fun. Like, the mechanics are good.
That was my question, because I have this game actually installed, because I just, you know, when you get Game Pass, you're like, here's 50 games on my computer now. Maybe I'll play them one day. And this was one of them. And what's cool about that game is the story sounds interesting because of, you know, like there's just the whole concept of kind of like in that Persona sort of way, or like a Psychonauts kind of thing of like confronting your, you know, fears or things that, you know, scare you, or your like the negative parts of your personality. That sounds like a kind of game that would be very story focused. So
it sounds like it, but I mean, I wouldn't say it's not story focused. I just don't think the story grabbed me. Like that concept, that pitch right. that you just gave of like going into your fears and exploring your mind. Like something like Psychonauts or Persona or those, like they do such a just a more in-depth job of it, you know. Like this game, mm-hmm. it's kind of like the reason that you're going to confront your fears is because that's what they want to base the dreamscapes that you go into on.
Right.
So like one of the first one you go to is like where she lives. It's her family house, and then you beat the kind of the memories around there, and then the next one's like the campground and stuff like that. So it's almost like they had the concept of like how they wanted it to go, and then wrote the story around it, and it's just not like anywhere near as impactful as the other games.
That's like, sad. It's like a paper mache version of what it could be.
Yeah exactly. But the, you know, it's a good thing though, because realistically, like this isn't the type of game where I'd want to be bogged down by a bunch of cutscenes and like talking to people. Like I want to get into the action, you know. I feel like the game's pacing would be completely off if it was like a lot of heavy story, because they just the characters just aren't compelling. Like they don't really have a lot of detail in their design and all this stuff. It's more just the concept mm-hmm. of like how you're expanding your own character's stats by like talking to these people in the world. So, but anyway, like it's a cool game. I don't say uninstall it. I just say like, you know, don't like go into there expecting like the next version of Hades. Just kind of take it for what it is. And it's good to like play while you're watching TV or something like that. Yeah, anyway though, that's what I've been playing. I'm thrilled and excited to hear what you have to say about one of my favorites from last year, The Artful Escape. So please fill me in.
The Artful Escape to me, I don't know if I just missed some trailers for this game, or if I just had some like weird idea of what it was in my mind, but it was 100% not what I was expecting. Like, it started out exactly what I was expecting, you know? You're in that, like, small, adorable, like, folksy indie town. And you've got this, like, kind of, like, hipster sort of broody, introspective main character. And he's got his guitar. I'm like, yeah, this is exactly what this is going to be about, right? You're in this beautiful landscape. And then you just fall down this, like, insane, psychedelic sci-fi wormhole. And the whole rest of the game is, like, set in this, like, like unfathomable cosmic backdrop, and like holy fuck, it was so good.
Wasn't it? Okay, good.
I was very surprised by this game that I thought I knew a lot about, because it won so many awards, and like
yeah,
everybody and their mom played Artful Escape and loved it, and like geez, it took me fucking forever to get around to it, but I'm glad I finally did. And I think like you said with Guardians, like this game is like, it's the sum of all its parts put together, but every one of those parts is done really well, I think. Or at least 99% of those parts
yeah.
are done really well. So
I agree completely.
I mean, obviously the first thing that gets you is the style and the music, because that's sort of the glue that ties it all together, or at least that's the elevator pitch for the game. And some of the landscapes that you walk around, and like, there's not a hell of a lot of gameplay, which I think is the one thing I've heard people complain about. But to me, that's kind of funny, because I don't think what you do is unpleasant. It's just people wanted more gameplay. But to me, it's like this game kind of is just like an interactive story. And I don't think I really needed anything on top of that, or that it ever occurred to me while I was playing that something was missing.
Yeah, I can't think of like a type of gameplay that could have been added to it to make it like, wow, that was better than what it was. You know, like, it almost feels like you want to just walk to the next thing to continue the story.
Yeah, exactly. And it took me just under 4 hours. So it's not like it's a hugely long game that like a mechanic could really be like introduced and developed over a large portion of time. So I don't know. I can understand like maybe just some people aren't into the like walking simulator style game. Yeah, so it took me just under 4 hours to beat. And I think with a game of that length, like, I'm happy to just experience it. Like, that's what it is for me. I don't need like a mechanic that I'm going to like learn and improve and get better at as I go along. I'm just like along for the ride. I want to experience it. Maybe if there's a little bit of variety, that definitely helps. But I think it's just one of those things where I understand if that's not your style of game and you wish there was more of like a rhythm game or something, but I think it was exactly what it set out to be. So the main, I guess what you do is you kind of just, it's 2D and you sort of go from left to right. You walk through the level. There's very light platforming,
yeah, I guess. If you can call it platforming, yeah.
Exactly. But mostly you're just like shredding on your guitar and running through, and it's just an artistic masterpiece. Like, every environment you go through is like a little bit of a different sound to it. So your guitar plays a little differently. There's some different background music going on, and you'll run past flowers and they'll bloom and light up, and like fireworks will go off in the background as you're passing by, and you'll be like jumping on like mushrooms that make noises when you step on them. So it's like you do as you go.
It's really a trip, isn't it? It's really something.
It really is. But like, you can't even begin to explain like all like the aliens and the weird creatures and the fauna you go in. Like, my favorite area, I guess, is the last one, and like, there's all these trees, but the trees look like muscles. Like, the trunks are not bark, they're made of like sinewy muscle, and there's like, everything's bright colored, and like, and every creature has at least 7 eyes, like, well, you know, and if they don't, they're probably hiding it behind some like, you know, ridiculous clothing that they're wearing. And it's just, it's so creative and interesting and different to look at. And then you put the music on top of it, which is the heart of the game. And it's just, it's awesome. Like, it's like glam rock taken to the extreme. And it's just, it's so fun. Like, it's, I don't know how you play this game and you don't just have like a big smile on your face and you connect with it. And yeah, it's just exciting all the time.
I find it really inspiring too. It's like your character's like fulfilling their dream and whatnot. And I think his relationship with that, and I forget his name, maybe you can fill me in, like the main like guitar king, I guess, that you're like trying to chase as an idol in the yellow jacket.
Mark.
Yeah. Is his name Mark?
His name is Mark, but he goes by like Star Lord. Oh, it's not Star Lord. Right. Got that in my mind now.
Yeah. Whatever he is, I really like his dynamic and like the way he sort of strings you along throughout the game, and then you sort of uncover what's going on with him. And there, that whole thing played out, I think, like in a very satisfying way as you move towards the end too.
Yeah. So the story is obviously the next big pillar of the game, because it's beautiful to look at, it's beautiful to listen to, but you have to have a reason for doing it. Otherwise, you know, why are you there? And I think like this is, it's not extremely subtle and it's relatively predictable, but the writing is fantastic. And all of the characters I felt were very believable and very well realized. And the voice acting is so fucking good too. One of the Game of Thrones actresses in it, and that kind of like,
oh, really?
Surprised me a few times. Yeah.
Which character is that?
The actress who plays Cersei is in it, which is really maybe one of the funniest people. Yeah, she's got a I don't want to say who she is because it's, yeah, kind of like,
I'll have to look that up. I'll have to look reveal, it up.
But yeah, but anyway, they all give it a really good performance. But the just it's such a relatable story of the idea of like the main character, he's the nephew of a very famous folk artist, and so the whole town, like the whole small town, like all they're known for is that this artist grew up there, and they have like festivals for him all the time, and you know, like he has like posters he can play his first concert, and the picture on the poster is like him small in the corner, and it's like Francis Vendetti, nephew of, and then like a massive picture of his uncle. He's like hardly on his own poster. And so he's kind of following in the footsteps of his nephew, and everyone has these expectations on him that he's going to be an amazing folk singer as well. And, you know, he feels like he's kind of trapped in this destiny and identity of what other people expect of him. And I think what's neat about this is I think at one point he liked that. Like the main character, he was excited about that. He wanted to be just like his nephew or like his uncle. It was someone he looked up to. But as he's gotten older, he's started to realize that's maybe not the person that he wants to be, or he wants to pursue other things in life. And he's kind of at a crossroads of what is he going to do? Is he going to commit to being this folk musician, or is he going to kind of, you know, admit to himself or free himself from these expectations and forge his own path? And that's really what the game is all about. And there are a few other characters like what is his name now? You've put Star-Lord in my
mind. I'll look it up.
That is bothering me, but he is kind of he's got a story that's sort of similar of like kind of being a mirror to the uncle, where he's the really famous, well-versed mentor kind of character, but his story plays out a little bit differently. And you get Violetta as well, who's also kind of trying to like forge her own path, but she's having trouble like committing to it as well in some degrees. And it's just, it's so well written, and there's such normal struggles just like exemplified to this massive cosmic scale. And so there's some funny moments where he's like playing in like music in a venue of like millions of people across galaxies and like time and space. And he's like, oh, but what is my neighbor at home gonna think? It's like, dude, we're way past your neighbor at home.
Like, dude, where are you right now, man? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
By the way, his name is Lightman.
Lightman, yes, thank you. That is what it is. Lightman. He's a cool dude as well.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
So he was neat. But I think, like, there's something about the story and just the music and everything. It goes so well together. Like, it's really nicely merged. And the way that your character kind of progresses in his capacity to play music or to play like this different style of glam rock music, and how that coalesces with him kind of like figuring out who he wants to be and gaining confidence as the story goes on, it really like tied them together so nicely.
Mm-hmm. I you playing this game this time, it reminded me like how much I cared about it when I played it originally, because like now that it's been a little while, I've sort of, you know, forgotten some of the more minor plot points and different things. I've just kind of kept like the overall feeling of what I thought about it, and I'm like, man, should I like go back one night and replay The Artful Escape and just like hang out? I don't know, like it sounds like an appealing idea.
It genuinely wouldn't be a bad game to go back and play, because like it's not too long, it's pretty fun. And I was to say too, the other thing that surprised me, this game was really funny. Like there were a lot of characters that were just so good, and you get back to kind of like the sort of hub area, I guess, before you go out to various planets to explore and play music.
It's the lung, right? And
the lung. And there's just some like running threads of characters there that are so funny. Like you don't really have tons of like interactables with the environment, but there are various characters you can just stop and talk to for a second. And there's like a guy at coat check, and at first like he doesn't know who you are, so he like takes your coat and like loses it, and he sort of steals it. You ask for your coat and he just kind of closes coat check on you. And then so every time you end up going back to the lung, like, and you're getting more progressively more famous, he's like sees you and kind of panics and like tries to give you something and closes the coat check. And like, there's just a bunch of really funny stuff. And every now and again, your character is just some like commentary on something ridiculous he's seeing. And he's like trying to rationalize like, yeah, all right. Like that creature is like 12 limbs and, you know, is half an octopus. Like, sure. Fine. And I don't want to spoil too much, 'cause I think it's like really the kind of game that like you have to just sit down and play. But there's one other character. And every single time, this character was just very much a joke, but everything they said like had me genuinely laughing. Was like near the end of the game, you meet that character, I think her name was Frida, and she's the one that picks you up on her plane, and she gets you to go to like her wardrobe, and like you get to pick out that outfit that you
end up doing
performance in. And she's got that like creature with her, like it seems like it's like a pet of some sort. Calvaggio, I think is the name. And you go to talk to the, you're like, oh, it's so cute. And she's like, no, don't talk to it. Like, you have no idea what you're getting yourself into. And you're like, holy shit, like, what is this thing? And then later it talks to you and it has like just the most like intense, deep, well, maybe I shouldn't spoil, but like the way that it talks to you is just so unexpected and so funny. And it does it a few times and it's just like a completely different tone than the rest of the game. Like it goes into this like almost like aside where this character is. I don't know if you remember, but holy
I don't know.
Shit,
it's so funny. I'll have to look it up because it's
look up Frida and Calvaggio, because like you will know exactly what I'm talking about when you see this character. And it's like just a couple throwaway jokes, but like they're placed just like in the perfect, just like few and far between enough where the game, like you don't start to think it's a silly game or a comedy, because it's still very like heartfelt and kind of got that serious tone to it. But like every now and again, it just, you just stop for a second and come across something so funny.
Yeah, it's well paced, like in its tone of writing, you know what I mean? Because it could be the kind of thing, like this is the kind of setting when things get so far out and ridiculous and you're like, I think that's the kind of setting where you can easily lose a lot of people and you just be like what the hell is this, you know? But it's so grounded, like you said, and like he's always caring about like, oh, what are people at home going to think? Like it maintains really that grounded perspective. And then also like the jokes are just excellent levity points when you're like, you just might be getting a little bit deep or like heartfelt or kind of like wacky. And then all of a sudden there's just something funny and you laugh for a minute and you're just kind of back in the right mindset to continue on with the journey. And I just think it's like that like 3 to 4 hour sort of time frame and everything. It's just it's a great package for what it needs to be.
Yeah, I fully agree. Like, I totally see why it won so many awards. I think it was 2021 when it came out, and it just kind of like swept the game awards, and it absolutely like deserves all of them.
Okay, so just to finish off the point talking about this game, then I have an interesting question to pose to you, which is that now that you have Game Pass, I know I've recommended a few games over the last little bit, and you've played two of them now, and between this and Unpacking, and I just want to know, like, if you had to say right now, which of those would you say is better?
That is such an unfair question. They are such different games. I think Unpacking touched me a little bit more than The Artful Escape. And I don't want to say that it's a better game, because I think there's a lot more to The Artful Escape. I think it's a lot more of a, like, complete package. But there was just something about, and so it's not to the credit of Artful, but there's just something about the simplicity of Unpacking and just the storytelling in the subtlety of it, in that there's no dialogue. The game doesn't, you know, tell you to look out for certain things that you unpack, or it doesn't tell you anything about the girl's life, but just the amount of things you can infer from the gameplay and how the levels unfold. And then I think just it was a game that I can resonate a bit more personally with as well. Like, I have moved a fair amount of times in my life and with various different situations, either with family or, you know, with a partner, or then on my own after we split up, and I can relate to that more so than someone like, you know, than Vendetti, where he's got so much more like that kind of like specific pressure to be a certain type of person, which I've not experienced as much. So
sure. Yeah. I think I agree with you, but it's an interesting debate because I think they're both like standout indies from like recent, like Game Pass standout indies. And I think it's just a interesting comparison. Maybe we'll have to make like a tier list of Game Pass indie games at some point.
That'd be good. We'll get a few more in and then get started. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun. Anyway, that's what we've been playing the last couple of weeks. So let's move on to the second half of today's show, which is very exciting, folks. We've got a very fun game planned. Like I said at the top of the show, we're going to be planning out our PlayStation 2 classic lineups. So here's the way it's going to go. We're going to take turns drafting games to our console. So if I take, for example, God of War, the original, Kate would not be able to take that on her PS2 classic. She'd have to pick God of War 2. or something else, but that's fine. We can both, you know, we'll take turns then go down. Once we both have, I think, 10 games we've agreed upon, we'll each, I guess, recap our list, and then we're going to post them both on our Twitter account and see which list people think would be a better lineup for the PS2 Classic. So it's a little competition and maybe a tiebreaker for next time we need to decide something on the show. What do you say? What do you say? All right. Yeah. Deal. Would you like the honors, Kate, of drafting first?
Wow, just for free? I assumed I had to complete just some for kind free. Of task. Okay.
Just for free. You can go first if you'd like. I feel
okay,
like
I'll ask you a still testing okay. question, actually, of a fun fact I learned today.
Okay.
So I'm wearing my Metallica shirt.
Nice.
You can see. And so
it's a nice Metallica shirt. It's very nice. Yeah.
And now this fact came from a friend who heard it on the radio, and I kind of remember it, so it might be bullshit, but we'll see if you can get it anyway.
Okay.
And their first ever appearance in the Rolling Stone magazine was in what year?
Metallica. Ooh.
Now, I was given a few options, and I will let you choose between them.
Okay.
It 1991, 1993, or 1995?
I'll say now I was incredibly young in a lot of these years, so it's not like I'm going to be around then, but I'll say it was 91.
Well, you're right. It was 91. I also guess that.
Well, they were late 80s, right? They came to be really popular. So 91 kind of lines up. Anyway, cool trivia. I'm wearing a Pokemon t-shirt, which I would not at this time like to ask you one, but I maybe another time, mostly because I don't have one prepared. But yeah, let's kick us off. Kate. Let's see.
Okay. By just for next time, you can ask me who the best starter is, and it's Bulbasaur or Treecko.
Okay. So, cool. I'll remember that for next time, and then you can get it right. 3 points.
Yeah, that is the correct answer. Okay. I feel like this is a bonus to go first, but also really difficult to kind of set the tone. And I'm just gonna off the bat, I think steal Shadow of the Colossus.
Ooh, interesting. That was very high on my list of games to take.
You've been devastated by this.
Yeah. Now have you played Shadow of Colossus? Oh my god. Okay, I'm gonna hotspot.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. I'm gonna hotspot. Give me a sec.
Oh, okay, you weren't on it already. I thought you were already on it, and I was like, oh,
no,
shit.
I wasn't. I just switched them. I had switched to the 5G network. Just to see.
Oh, okay.
Well, sometimes it's like usually better, but then sometimes it's like the connection's not as strong, so it's like a give and take sort of thing. You know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, we can just say your first pick again, and I'll fix it up. And then maybe we should just say like a little section, like a little thing about why we chose it or whatever like that.
Right. Yeah, I was going to kind of.
Yeah. I'm sure you were. I'm just hotspot. All right. Give me a second. Oh, and do you have the listener mail question up to read it out when we get to that point?
I can open it, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll be right back. I'll disconnect for just a second. All right, I'm back. Ready?
Welcome back. Ready.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I'm just going to start us out with the big one and steal Shadow of the Colossus. Because that is just such a cool, unique game. And I don't think there's anything else in the library that's going to really give that kind of experience. And for a 10-game catalog, you need some good variety.
You do. That's a really good point, I think. And it was honestly one of my lists, too. Like, I have my sort of games listed in three different ways. It's like James's favorites that rock, James's favorites that don't rock, and then critically acclaimed games that I've not played.
I really hope the favorites that rock are just like Guitar Hero, Rock Band.
not quite. Two,
and then it's like, okay, the other one's God of War, whatever.
Yeah, not quite. But, you know, speaking of that, I'm going to go ahead and just take God of War 2, I think. And I'm going to take that simply just because I feel like although God of War, the original, was really good, I just think the second one sort of polished up the way the game felt and improved a little bit on some of the combat and whatnot, enemy types. And so God of War 2, man, it's a classic. And God of War, just such a great franchise. You know, people love it. They'll buy the console just to play it.
Absolutely. Imagine if it had the full collection, though.
Ugh.
only thing that could beat it. Okay, I'm going to take another one I think is big that you might also have wanted. And that's going to be Psychonauts. I did not realize that the original Psychonauts was a PS2 game, but it was. And as we mentioned before, just the concept of that game of like going into people's minds and like kind of like dealing with whatever mental health issues they're having by like physically going in and doing some kind of like action platformer level was such a cool concept. Like to the point where like when Psychonauts got a sequel, like something like 10, 15 years later, everybody like was their mind was blown.
Yeah.
So like, oh, you bought the sequel. We'll come back to play the original Psychonauts.
Yeah, seriously. You know, it's funny, when I was looking this up too, I actually also didn't realize Psychonauts was on the PS2. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an Xbox exclusive all along. So yeah, that's so interesting. No. Yeah, good pick. Okay, let's go with something that I think is a game that maybe not the highest like reviewed game, but something that people really want and is like rumored in the remake mill all the time these days. I'm going to take Simpsons Hit and Run, because that is a classic open world game, and I think it would be a huge seller.
That was on my list. I put that on my, okay, I put my list into two different categories. There's the like, okay, James is going to contest these ones. And mm-hmm. then the list of like, you're just free to put these in at the end. And Simpsons Hit and Run is the top of my put in free.
No way. That game was awesome. It was awesome. Yeah.
Damn it. That game was so fun. Fuck, I'm going to buy your console now.
I hope we get both for free at this point. We're creating the list. Come on. This is like half the work, right? Making the console.
What if we just merged them and had a 20 game?
Well, I think we should propose this to Sony just in case they haven't thought of it after we're done. Anyway, your turn.
Yeah, I'm sure it never occurred to them that they could do a number two.
Definitely not, no.
No. Okay, well, damn it. I'm totally thrown off now. Okay, I'm going to just go like a complete left field and go Silent Hill 2.
Okay.
That's supposed to just be one of the king of horror games, and I've never played it, and I'd really like to. So fair this enough. Would be a great opportunity for me.
It would. That's a good call. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. I'm going to go for... Now, this is a critically acclaimed game that I don't think you've really played, and I've barely played too, but it's something that for sure would be like one of the highest requested things would be GTA San Andreas. So I'm going to take that, even though it's not like I wouldn't play it, but you know, people would definitely play it.
The problem is now you've got GTA and Simpsons Hit and Run, which are basically the same game, just wearing different coats.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, so, still got a few games to go.
I think you backed yourself into a corner, but whatever.
All right. Okay. Let's see you avoid taking more than two action platformers throughout this, this experience.
Uh-oh. All right. Fine. Let me just cross about 17 things off my list. And I'm going to go with... I'm putting Taiko Drum Master.
Hell yeah.
On this list, because that game is just straight fire and you need a rhythm game.
You do.
And again, I've never played it, but I really would like to. So I think you might see a trend in my list to some degree.
Okay, well, a trend in my list is that I'm picking a few of my all-time favorites. And when it comes to my all-time favorite games, I'm going to take Final Fantasy X. My favorite Final Fantasy, and honestly, my favorite PS2 game. So I think it easily deserves a spot. And I think you might have wanted to take that because you probably knew I wanted it. So I'm going to go and grab it.
That is a cool game. That is a cool game. Okay, I'm going to go for something weird. And I have two games here and I couldn't decide between the both of them. So would you please choose either the left or the right?
Okay. Let's go with the left.
With the left? Okay, so we got SSX.
Nice. SSX 30.
Would you like to know what it was up against?
Was it SSX Tricky?
No, it was up against Splashdown as my sports game.
What the heck is Splashdown?
Do you remember Splashdown? We definitely rented it. So SSX is the like awesome snowboard like racing game. Everybody knows it for that one cool song. And then Splashdown was like basically the same game, but instead of snowboarding, you were riding those like what are they called? They're like the motorbike.
A Sea-Doo?
Yes, Sea-Doos. It's like a Sea-Doo racing game, but it's known for having like a really funny announcer who's just like a total bro, and he's like, "Whoa, out of bounds!"
Yes.
And it's just, it's such a silly game, but it's genuinely pretty fun.
Fantastic. You're taking SSX Tricky, right? Like I'm the one we put. SSX, okay, yeah. I wanted to make sure to clarify, because otherwise I was going to leave Tricky as my 10th pick when you weren't going to take two snowboarding games. So.
What if I do?
Then I God do. Bless you trying to sell your console. All right, so we're 4 games in here. I got to get some variety going on, because I do have like a few of that. I feel like I've got like the popular ones, right? Final Fantasy, God of War 2, GTA. Like those are 3 really big ones. I got to get some more niche stuff.
You've got your box art, so now you just
exactly. So I'm going to fill it out here with my first game. Now that I know you've got some rhythm games on the mind, I can't let you be the only one with like a rhythm peripheral with those Drum Master things. So I'm going to take Rock Band, because that was released on the PS2, and I think that would be pretty cool to have.
Okay, that was another one I did consider. There's a few Guitar Heroes on there as well. Like you were kind of getting into that, like when they were just getting super popular.
I definitely associate it more with like the PS3 360 era of games, but like it was on the PS2, so it'd be cool to have it on the collection.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
If they'd package it with a drum set, 2 guitars, and a microphone. But
that was my problem. I was like, that was the problem with Rock Band. I was like, you know, you don't need the peripherals. Like, that's weird.
I mean, this is fantasy land. It can work out for this game.
In a perfect world. Okay. I think the next game I'm going to get is Surprise, one I haven't played, but I always thought kind of looked cool. And I know people really like it. It's Okami.
Okay.
Which, a PS2. Is that one where you play as a wolf? It's like that really stylized, like, beautiful anime RPG. And I you took five. Fantasy, so this is how I'm gonna get my JRPG kind of game in here. Is I'm gonna take the dog one.
Nice. Okay, that works. That actually wasn't on my list. Kind of weird that it wasn't, because I know it's like one of those that everyone talks about from back then. But okay, let's change it up here. I think one thing that's lacking from sort of the PS2 era is first person shooters. You don't get a lot of those. So I'm going to put on another one of my favorites. And this is from the James's Picks That Don't Rock list. This is 007 Nightfire. Because that was a great first-person game. One of the best shooters. We had so much fun playing that back in the day. Remember that level with the 2 cable cars, like going up from the ski resort?
That one was so fun.
Would just like be in a cable car across from each other, like trying to snipe as you're like moving.
It was like every now and again you can get like a laser, and you just sit there with like this massive laser gun. That was awesome.
Oh, what a game!
There was like one character that you could play as who was like dressed in all white, so we would like totally camo into the level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a game! Was awesome. What a game! I'll never forget. And the homing rockets, man, those were fun.
And that's where, we had a good time with that one. I don't know if I ever actually beat the single player.
I don't think we really even played the single player on that game, to be honest. I think I played like 1 or 2 levels. There was like some weird driving thing where you were like in the Aston Martin, like dropping oil slicks and stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like, I just want to shoot people at the ski resort. That's all.
Yeah, only at the ski resort. Fuck every other level. It was the best, though. Okay, that's good. So I'm getting down to 4 games, and I'm starting to think I've got to be really intentional about my selections here. So I'm going to go with another kind of like scary game. But this one I thought was always super unique looking is Fatal Frame.
Oh, nice call.
So it's not like a photography-based horror game, and there's just something about it. Like, this to me is like the precursor for all those like games that came out like where you have like infrared and like night vision goggles, and you have to like, you only have so much battery, so you can only see it in certain times. And like, this to me is like, I think the game that inspired a lot of like those mechanics, but in this you have like the photography element instead. Mm-hmm. And it's such a cool idea, Fatal Frame.
Yeah, I agree. That was on my list for sure too, because I don't have a horror a horror game yet. Am I gonna pick a horror game? I don't know, because there's only a few spots left, like you said.
There's another strong horror game that's just the elephant in the room right now and staring us right in the face.
Well, I'm gonna continue to pick other stuff first. I think there's just better stuff. I'm gonna go for Soul Calibur 2, because I don't have a fighting game yet, and I know that was like one of the really critically acclaimed versions, with the ones that had the different exclusive characters depending on console. So PS2 had, I think, Heihachi from Tekken in there. And people really like that guy, as far as I can tell. So why not take Soul Calibur 2 as my fighting game? Plus, I love that game, so why not?
That is fair. I was just thinking myself that I also need a fighting game. And so I'm okay with you taking that one because I was going to go for Tekken 5.
Okay.
I just personally prefer Tekken to Soul Calibur, and Yoshimitsu
We
is
can agree on that. Yoshimitsu is a cool dude.
a cool dude.
All right, 3 games left. Hey, 3 games left.
Three games left.
Okay. So I've got my last two already picked out, and they're games I know you will not take. So I just really need to come
Okay.
down to like the last thing that I want. And there's a few different things that I'm thinking of. Maybe we can give some honorable mentions at the end.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's see. I'm gonna go with, I think everything needs a weird indie kind of game on there. And so I don't really have a weird indie game yet. I'm gonna take Katamari
The game is so
which
weird.
is an awesome game where you basically roll giant balls of things together. And I don't know, like, what else do you say about it? Like, it's like you're rolling a snowball, except instead of it's made of snow, you're like rolling up people and objects, and it gets bigger and bigger. And then you're rolling houses and trees and planets, and it's just crazy and strange. And yeah, why not? Katamari.
Okay. Games were so old because like I've definitely seen them now, like they pop up from time to time because they're just wacky and insane. But I didn't realize that there was like an actual PS2 version.
Yeah, I think the first version was on the PS2 because it was one of the first games that took advantage of like dual analog sticks because you would be
Oh,
able to like roll the
the
ball
right
in the certain control scheme. So I think it
one. That
was
makes a
like,
lot of
along
sense.
with that, was like one of the, it was almost like a tech demo, I would imagine, for like controlling in that sort of way. But then yeah, it turned out to be like, I think
That
it's
makes
fun.
a
I
lot
think
of
it's fun
sense.
as hell.
I think that game does look fun as hell. So I've got two games left, and I'm about to devolve into like just random shit I want to play
Yeah.
because I am not gonna take God of War. You left that like perfect bait, like it's sitting there on like a silver platter. Like that is the steak dinner that is staring me in the face, and I'm not gonna eat it. So I'm sorry, God of War. Like I love you. Ragnarok is coming, and that's like a vacation day for me. I would play it day one. I love you. But there's something I love more than God of War, and that is everything From Software does.
Okay.
And so for my kind of weird indie game, I'm taking Ico.
Oh, nice
And
pick.
I guess it's not like super niche, but what I learned about Ico recently is that it actually inspired Miyazaki a lot when he started working on the Soul series, because it's kind of got like a really fucking weird story in
I
Ico.
was gonna say that's because that's not a FromSoft game. That's like the same developer as Shadow Colossus.
It is the same deal over Shadow Colossus, but apparently he said in interviews a few times that like the story of that game really inspired him. And just reading about it a little bit, like it is weird. Like I will just read you the first sentence of the plot on Wikipedia. It's Ico, a horned boy, is taken by a group of warriors to an abandoned castle and locked inside a stone coffin to be sacrificed. And then like he gets out and there's some like queen is just like sacrificing people to like stay young, and like there's just all sorts of like weird, like people are losing their consciousness and like getting turned to stone and like become like devolving and like growing horns, and there's just like weird shit happening. And it was like, yeah, I could see Miyazaki getting into that. Like that doesn't surprise me at all.
Fair enough.
But I think it'd be cool to go back and just kind of see like, where some of the roots came from.
Yeah, it would be cool. I mean, I think that game's on an HD collection somewhere, maybe with like, I think you can get it on PlayStation, just FYI,
Yeah.
but I'd like to play that too, and it's a double whammy because it's also Lineage of Shadow of the Colossus, which is a great game, so it'd be cool
Exactly.
to play for like two reasons. That's a great call. Wow, I'm surprised you got both of those. I really wanted Shadow of Colossus on that.
Hey, you let me go first.
Yeah, you're true. I wouldn't have taken it first, but you know. Okay, as everyone knows, I'm a huge Dallas Stars fan, Kate. So I gotta get a hockey game on here. And I was just thinking, like, which hockey game should I pick? Because there's another one every year. And then this was also like it wasn't just EA NHL. A lot of the times there was also 2K hockey, which was making it like a rival series back in the PS2 era. And it just so happens that one of those two games, NHL 2K6, had none other than Stars goaltender Marty Turco on the front cover of the game's art.
No
So
way.
I have to take NHL 2K6 because it's like the only time there's been a Stars player on the front of the box of an NHL game. And so it's just very sentimental. And yeah, it's got to be on there.
Pretty cool. I mean, I figured you might take a hockey game. There, There is actually one game I'm interested if you take as your last pick, because one of the notes I wrote down on the bottom of my list is James is going to take this game, and you haven't taken it
yet. Wow, really? I want to know what it is.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. But my last game is a game I doubt you have ever heard of, because I have never heard of it before. But I was just looking through like lists of PS2 games to kind of refresh, just to, you know, so there was like a super obvious thing that I forgot. And I found this game called Way of the Samurai.
Never heard of it. It'll be my
final game. And what struck me about it, just it kind of had a cool title. It's kind of got cool box art of like the samurai sort of like facing the sunset. But what struck me is like the article I was looking at kind of had a little synopsis. And one of the things they stress about this game was like, this is not a hack and slash game. Like, this is tactical samurai combat. And I looked at it and I was like, holy shit, like this is PS2 Sekiro.
Like, oh, really?
Dude, it looks so cool. Like, you kind of got the stance and like the character in the video is sort of like waiting, and then you like kind of block an attack perfectly, and then he swings back, and it just looks like really slow, like precise samurai combat. But you also have like a bunch of different swords, and that can give you like different moves you can have. And then apparently it has like a co-op mode where like you can like fight each other. So it's like, interesting. Wow, what if we really secure each other? And I just thought to myself, like, I kind of genuinely, like, out of all the games on my list, I sort of have the most interest in like trying to find a copy of this game just to see how it feels.
It would be fun to try, and it would work on your PS4. So like, why not give it a go? I think it will work on your PS4. I didn't play PS2 games, no?
I don't know.
No, I'm wrong. Maybe it doesn't.
I don't know. I mean, I would definitely will never.
Well, I have a PS. I can give you my PS2 anyway. If you were to find a copy, I'm sure it wouldn't be that expensive.
Yeah, if anyone knows where I can find Way of the Samurai, because it just looks like so much like they did that Bloodborne downgrade. Yeah. Like someone online, like that amazing person made like Bloodborne, but it's on PS1 and you can like kind of play through part of the game. Like this is just basically like, okay, Sekiro, but on PS2.
Right. Interesting. Okay. My last pick. I'm going to take a game. I don't have a racing game. No, neither of us have a racing game, actually.
Snowboard racing. That's true.
I forgot. Well, one of my favorite racing games of all time is on the PS2. So I'm wondering if this is the game you have written down for me to take. But I'm taking Burnout Revenge, because that game.
Burnout was
amazing.
Fun.
It was like racing, but if someone like knocked you out of the race, it would label them as your rival, and you'd have to go take them out for like extra bonuses or something throughout the race. You know, you could go off jumps and like land on top of each other's cars and like smash them up. Great time, and great game. So what was the game you thought I was gonna take?
Siphon Filter. Every time.
It's a PS1 game.
No, it's PS2.
Well, the original's on PS1. That's what people were asking for.
Well, it was on like the list of what I looked up. Yeah. But every time we talk about franchises to come back, you're always like, oh, Sony's bringing back Siphon Filter.
Well, that's more of a guess, not like what I want. But yeah, you're not wrong, though. It's not a bad pick. All right, let's get to some honorable mentions before we give out our final list. So like anything else you want to shout out that was like number 11 or 12?
I mean, Persona 4 was on the PS2, and that's wild that nobody brought it up.
I was thinking about it, but I also thought like, well, there's Golden now, and like, is it really worth putting like the original when Golden's just better?
Yeah, exactly. That was my thought process. Resident Evil 4, I thought for sure you would take that as your horror game.
I didn't even really think of it, to be honest. I just got wrapped up in like other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Amplitude was another game I considered as like another musical counterpart to Taiko Drum Master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are good picks. I had I thought about taking the original God of War as well to give like that 1-2 combo. Mm-hmm. Like that might have been kind of cool. Ratchet and Clank obviously has a lot on the PS2, but I feel like those games are just really easy to pick up on a lot of different collections and platforms and stuff, so I did go for it. Other stuff, Tony Hawk Pro Skater obviously. I was going to take it for the meme, but
there were so many Tony Hawk games. I'll go through that list of like best rated PlayStation
Look,
games.
It's like no Hawk, joke. It's Tony no Hawk, joke as that they're Tony good Hawk. Games. But
dude, you need 30 on PS2.
I also thought about taking either the original Yakuza or Killzone, because they were on PS2, and it would be like a cool sort of back to the roots pick of like some of these long-standing franchises. And then the last two for me that was really funny, or actually three, one of them was Star Wars Battlefront 2, because people love that game, and I remember that being a ton of fun. But there was two Marvel games that I thought about putting on there that I had no idea existed, and I don't know if you came across either of these, but there's a Punisher game on the PS2, which...
Yes, I saw
like,
that.
I watched some gameplay. It looks hilarious. You're just, like, going around, like, different auto shops and, like, killing people, like, in really violent ways. And then there's this Incredible Hulk game called Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction, and it literally looks like a PS1 or PS2 style like Spider-Man game. Like, it's the same sort of New York City setup, but instead of swinging around, you're kind of jumping with the Hulk, and you can run up buildings the same way. And in the, I watched like 10 seconds of gameplay, and he just like picks a guy up by the head and is like swinging him around. The guy's screaming. It's like the most ridiculous game in the world.
That sounds anyway, amazing. Speaking of Marvel, Spider-Man 2 could have been a good pick as well.
Yeah.
Because that's like the OG, like, oh my God, the swinging, you really feel like Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, I thought also Gauntlet Dark Legacy would be kind of cool.
Oh, I remember that
game. That's a good game.
Very, very vaguely.
Anyway, why don't we run down our lists and for a recap here, and then, like we said, we'll post them online and see which people think was a better lineup. So go ahead, Kate, what's your list of 10?
Okay, in no particular order, I've got Shadow of the Colossus, Okami, Silent Hill 2, SSX Tricky, Ico, Tekken 5, Psychonauts, Taiko Drum Master, Way of the Samurai, and Fatal Frame, which I actually think is a pretty kick-ass lineup.
That's a kick-ass lineup. I would buy that console. Why not? Okay, for me, I have Final Fantasy X, again, in no particular order. Final Fantasy X, God of War 2, Soul Calibur 2, Burnout Revenge, Rock Band, NHL 2K6, Simpsons Hit and Run, GTA San Andreas, Katamari Damacy, and 007 Nightfire. Damn.
I might consider buying that.
Also a good lineup, but hey, that was also really fun, actually. So yeah, well, why don't we move on to the last part of the show, which is of course our listener mail for the week. And if you want to be cool like our friend Jazz, who will read his question in just a second, and you want to write into us, you can tell us what you'd put on your PS2 classic. You could tell us what you think of our list that we just made. Or you can write in with anything else you want to tell us or comment on, because we would love to hear from you at circlesandsquarespod@gmail.com. Or, of course, on Twitter, you can get in touch with us as well. And all our links are below in the show. So, yeah, we got a question from Jazz for this week. Nice and simple. Why don't you read it out, Kate?
This question a lot. It's just fun. He says, other than Ragnarok, because that's the obvious one, what's the next game you're looking forward to playing that's not released yet? So that's always a fun question, because, you know, what's the only thing more fun than playing video games is like cataloging all the video games that you want
to
play.
Right. You catalog the games you've beaten, you catalog the ones you want to play. Yeah, it's like a, you know, past, present and future of a gamer's life, basically. So yeah,
that is very true. So yeah, if you want to go first.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming up that I'm looking forward to, and we talk about it on the show pretty often, especially when we sort of recap, different showcases and whatnot. So I thought I would take it in a different direction and talk about something that I don't think I've mentioned on the show yet. And that is Mina the Hollower. And that is the next game, if you've not heard of it, from Yacht Club Games, the makers of Hollow Knight, because it's been a while since they sort of, you know, not released anything else. Shovel Knight. Damn.
Shovel Knight.
Don't worry. Yeah.
Harry may make an appearance, but this is not it.
Yeah, Yacht Club Games, the makers of Shovel Knight. Sorry, it's been a long day, folks. So Mina the Hollower is their next project after Shovel Knight. They've done a couple Shovel Knight spinoffs, but this is like their next sort of main game. And it's very much in the vein of Shovel Knight, except for instead of being a 2D sort of platformer, it's more of like a top-down 2D Zelda game style. Sort of think Link to the Past or Minish Cap or one of those. It's sort of that top-down view, and it just looks like the same level of polish and excellent pixel art, and the music is killer from what we've seen on like some of the announcement trailers and whatnot. So it's a game I kickstarted back when it was released, they were going to be making it, and so far I think it's like fully funded and passed a bunch of stretch goals. And I mean, for those that have listened for any length of time, you know how I feel about Shovel Knight, and I think it's just, you know, one of the best games indie wise at least to come out of the past 5, 6, 7 years. And so Mina the Hollower is really high up my list, and I'm you know, very, very excited to get that one day. I think it's supposed to come out next year, actually, too. So that's good.
The end of next year, I think, is what it says. But yeah, that game looks kick ass. Like, I did play some Shovel Knight, but I'm not as big on the platformer. So this style of game appeals to me more. And so I can definitely see myself picking it up when it's released.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
That looks awesome. I went a little more just like obvious with this question. I mean, fucking Silk Song, come on. You mentioned Hollow Knight, Team Cherry. Silk Song's coming out at some point. But because it doesn't have a release date, I thought I would just give a shout out to Plague Tale Requiem, which is coming out on October 18th. And coming straight to Game Pass, so it's going to be a day one for me. Like, we've talked in the past about Plague Tale Innocence, and it has still to this day held true of the longer I go and the more I think about that game, I only like it more and more. So I'm sure by the time Plague Tale Requiem comes out, I'm going to have, like, an aneurysm. It's going to be the best game I've ever seen in my life.
I hope so.
But, like, I'm just so excited to get back to seeing those characters, and like, because it has a release date, the hype is really strong.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great shout. I think if I was to go for something that's a little bit more like on the traditional, like, oh, what are we really looking forward to, like almost like as an industry, it would be those Insomniac projects coming up, like the sequel to Spider-Man and Wolverine coming on. Those two, like, you know, after Insomniac's last couple games, I just cannot wait to play both of those. So yeah, great question though, Jazz. Thanks for writing in. It's always fun to look forward to the future. And like we said at the top of that segment, write in, let us know what you're looking forward to, because we would love to hear, especially if it's a game that we've not really talked about before, if it's something that we might not have heard of or missed, because there's so many games announced all these days. Like, let us know what we're missing, because we'd love to get some suggestions. Anyway, that's going to do us for today's show. So like always, thank you for joining us. And we will see you again next time for the news show on next Monday. So until then, take care of yourself, and we'll see you soon.